Good evening. Welcome to Northwood Presbyterian Church. We're thrilled that you're here. What a great turnout for Gemma and Paul. Gemma grew up in this church from a wee lad and ended up pursuing bagpipes and has made a really nice career for herself doing that. And not only bagpipes, but many other instruments, and she's got a great friend with her who is going to be joining her. There was supposed to be a third person, and she got sick, so, but we're good. It's going to be fine. I wanted to also mention that we do have two services on Sunday morning. 9:30 is our contemporary, and 11 o'clock is our traditional service. What's that? Oh, 9 o'clock. That's right. 9 o'clock is our contemporary. 11 o'clock is our traditional. And I direct the traditional. I used to direct the contemporary, so that's why I forgot, I guess. But but anyway, we also, next Sunday, we're starting our Christmas stuff. So we've got a big handbell concert next Sunday at 4 o'clock, our Ring, Sing, and Mingle. The following Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, we have our cantata with over 40 singers and string quartet, woodwinds. It should be wonderful. So we welcome you to any of those things that you would like to attend. And right now, I'm just going to introduce this talented group of Gemma Briggs and Paul McLeish. We are in for a treat. We welcome you.
We didn't, actually we're kind of embarrassed because we didn't think anyone would turn up.
And I'm so glad that you did. So thank you to everybody for turning out. Thank you to Stephanie Carson, the music director, for having us. Thank you to Presbyterian Church for the use of the space, keeping the lights on, and keeping us warm tonight. I am so excited to introduce me, Gemma Briggs, also known as Gemma Bagpipes, performing with...
Oh, Paul McLeish, nice to see you guys. How you doing?
No worries. So the first one that we're going to hear tonight is called Angels We Have Heard on High. So some of you may have heard it before. It actually has this really interesting root in a Greek-Latin hymn composed in the 2nd and 3rd century called Gloria. You may recognize those words from the refrain of Angels We Have Heard on High. It's also related to the doxology, and it depicts the angels singing the night Jesus was born. Also reflected in the scripture, Luke chapter 2, verse 13, glory to God in the highest on earth and peace on whom his favor rests. So then we will follow Angels We Have Heard on High with a traditional Scottish jig. Enjoy.
Thank you.
You know what? Gemma's only had 3 YouTube video lessons. That's it. That's a good one. I mean, awesome, yeah.
It is that easy, everyone, believe it. So I actually started playing bagpipes 14 years ago, if you can believe it. And I actually met Paul in a pipe band. We played in a bagpipe band together a long time ago, like 10 years ago.
2010.
We'll have to do the math, but anyway... So, you may have noticed this funny instrument here. As you may know, it is called the Great Highland Bagpipe. It has 3 drones, 1 bass drone, 2 tenor drones. There's a low, steady sound that comes out of this part. And then here you have the chanter, which is basically like a glorified oboe, or a simplified oboe if you think about it, and that's where the melody comes from. So you end up with a 2-parted sound, that low bass in the back, and then you get your melody coming out of where you move your hands, like a flute or a clarinet, any other instrument. So the next one...
This is a Christmas card. We just keep giving each other Christmas cards.
Yeah. We're just exchanging pen pal letters at the moment. So the next one is Away in a Manger. Based off of the scripture, Luke chapter 2, 4 through 7, and she took her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room in the inn. So there's actually 2 melodies to this song. Same lyrics, one is more popular in the U.S. that I grew up hearing, one is more popular in the U.K. that Paul might have grown up hearing. So a little fun fact is that the U.K. version penned around 1837, and then the U.S. version was actually first published by a Scotsman named James Murray in a book of tunes called Dainty Songs for Lads and Lassies.
Dainty songs. It's funny. Growing up as a kid, we sang it differently. So when I came to the States in 1986, I'm in church, right, and it's like Christmas lights are on, everybody's like, you know, here we go. You know, we're in the manger. I was like, yeah. So it's like... Away in a manger, and I sang her away in, and everybody's sort of like staring and looking at me like, what's this guy from, you know? So that was my embarrassing situation with him, away in a manger, and I have never lived that down. All right.
Well, you'll hear the first 2 now, and please enjoy.
Little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Another letter from Santa.
I can't wait. Without that, we don't know what we're doing. What does it say?
What does it say? What does it say?
Okay.
So, you may have seen me play a new instrument in that last song. That was an Irish whistle in the key of E flat. I don't know if any of you ever seen a penny whistle before, any kind of Irish tin whistle. That is the same thing, except that one happens to be made of carbon fiber. So a little bit of interest in that. Also, the same maker that makes my bagpipes, also made of carbon fiber. Really, really awesome artisan maker that is lucky enough to support me. So I said that backwards, actually, that I'm lucky enough to have this. Yeah, anyway. So this next song is called Mull of Kintyre. So mull is a region, mule. Do you want to tell us about mule and what it means in Gaelic?
Mull. You said mule.
Mule.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, I went into Publix the other day and they said to me, oh my God, I love your accent. I say, no, I talk proper. It's all you that have the accent. mule of Kintyre. I need that, ain't it? Don't tell me. I've got to see what I'm talking about. Actually, so Mull of Kintyre, the song, have you heard it? You know, Mull of Kintyre, yeah. Paul McCartney wrote this way back in the day, 1970s, I think. Yeah, and he wrote it about a place. Mull is actually Gaelic for hill or mound. Look at you guys nodding like you knew that. Did you really know that? Really? They're like, yeah, we know that. Wow, okay. So educated audience. I hate educated audience. All right. So Mull is hill or mound. And when Paul McCartney was in the Beatles, he was obviously extremely famous. His life was constantly under the microscope. And he bought a little two or three bedroom cottage in the Mull of Kintyre. And if you go to Scotland, has anybody been there to the Mull? Yeah, there's nothing there. I mean, it's tiny, you know. And it's a little tiny village. And he took his family up there when he was off, and he just sort of like fell out of the limelight. And he was so enamored by it, he wrote the song Mull of Kintyre, which we're going to play today.
To be here, Mull of Kintyre. distant mountains with valleys of green. Past painted deserts, the sun sets on far as he carries me home to the mole of Kintar. Mole of Kintar, strolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be here, Mole of Kintar. Sweep through the heather like deer in the glen, carry me back to the days I knew then, nights when we sang like a heavenly choir of the times of the Mole of Kintar. Mole of Kintar, oh mist strolling in from the sea, my desire is always to be here, Mole of
Hope there's money in this one.
Who's it from? Oh. Okay. Oh, I get to read this one. Okay. All right, Paul. So I'm going to play an instrument called a bouzouki. Have you ever heard of a bouzouki before? Yeah. It's actually originally a Greek instrument, but the Irish got it and flattened the back and extended the neck, and it's called an Irish bouzouki. So let me just change instruments real quick. So somebody asked me, how did bouzouki get into Scottish and American music? So Scottish and Celtic music. And back in the day, when in the 1800s, when the Scots and the Irish came to America, they were regarded as kind of like the lowest of the low. And they used to sort of hang out in pubs with other people, other immigrants. And the Scottish musicians got in with the Greek musicians, and they said, hey, this works really well. And right about the 1800s, you see the bouzouki actually becoming a Celtic instrument, so that's why I'm playing it tonight.
So I've also got a new instrument, as you may notice. It looks a lot like the one I was playing before, but it is a little bit smaller. So these are called the Scottish small pipes. They play in the key of A, and they are a little bit better for playing with other instruments and at a lower volume level. So the next tune that you'll hear is played in a different ensemble with the bouzouki and the small pipes, a little bit more like an Irish session type ensemble that you might hear. And we are going to do a couple of session type reels mixed in with a couple of Christmas carols. Paul, can you tell us about Green Sleeves?
Oh, yes, Green Sleeves, yes. So anybody heard of Henry VIII? It's like, he's a big bit of a heavy boy, and he had seven wives? Seven wives of Henry VIII. Is it six? Just testing. Good. They are awake. Woo-hoo-hoo. I tried the old seven, and somebody got it, yeah. For the 2 o'clock in the morning group, I usually say he had 23 wives, you know, because half of them. Anyway, so he had, Anne Boleyn was obviously one of his wives. I think that was his second wife who he beheaded. And basically he was courting her and she was kind of like ignoring him. And he wrote a song for her. This was actually written by Henry VIII and it's called Green Sleeves, to try and woo her, because she has a favorite dress with long green sleeves, which he loves so much, and that's where it comes from. That's it.
Yeah. And then I need Paul to clip on my microphone because my arms only point forward and not backward. So there's also another name for green sleeves. It's called What Child Is This, right? What Child Is This? So What Child Is This? Those lyrics actually came after Green Sleeves was already written by Henry VIII, and then we'll be playing it into another tune called Ding Dong Merrily on High, which is actually a French carol from the 1500s, and I think it fits thematically really well with this Irish ensemble. So please enjoy. Thank you.
In Scotland, it's customary to extend the drums on a song.
Oh, no, my Christmas list.
Oh, man.
So the next tune is perhaps the most famous tune that has ever been written on the bagpipes. Does anybody have a guess? Scott and the Brave, good guess. That's, you know, maybe that is, and maybe this is second, but I'd say these two are tied. Anybody else? Amazing Grace, yes, that's the one. Didn't take too long to get it because it really is that famous. Usually if I ask any audience for requests, it's Amazing Grace, Scott and the Brave, and Freebird. So those three go together great. So Paul is also a bagpiper, so we both have a really deep appreciation for this song. We've both played it at, you know, many veteran ceremonies, memorials, and it really does have a deep meaning for a lot of people out there, us included. So it was originally written in 1772 for a sermon and was not written by the best guy. He was definitely a sinner, and I think we can all learn something from that. Sometimes the people that aren't always perfect need a little bit of grace, and sometimes we can give that grace to ourselves. He said, "Why did you look at me when you said that?" So, and then I think Paul also wants to tell you a little bit about his Scottish uniform. The dress, the Highland dress. Let's hear it.
This is a Dolce Vita. And Gucci shoes. Actually, it's funny, my shoes fell off. I was telling a couple over there. I've got my shoes actually tied on with black tape because the sole fell off as I came in. And I was like, yeah. I was like, so this is a cheap set I've got today. This is a kilt, and the kilt goes way back when to like the early dawn of time in Scotland. And this one's a Royal Prince Edward Stuart, or the Scots Guards. It's a military tartan, this one. The kilt was banned in the 1746, after the 1746 rebellion. And the bagpipes are the only musical instrument to ever be banned as a weapon of war. Seriously, the British government banned them as a weapon of war because the Scots fought harder with the bagpipes. And it wasn't until the 1800s that they actually allowed people to play the bagpipes in Scotland again. So this is the kilt. This is the dress kilt. I'm wearing gilly brogues, and you've got holes in them at the front. And people say, is that the fashion? No, it's very wet in Scotland. And your feet dry quicker if you've got gaps. So it was just a way of keeping your feet kind of dry. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Was grace that taught my to fear and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first
So the next song is called O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Some people may have heard it. It's actually has a really interesting ancient history, so I'll tell you all about it now. It's originated 1,200 years ago in the 8th or 9th century in monasteries. If you can kind of hear that Gregorian chant influence in the melody of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that's because it is there. So a fun fact about it, it begins with the Latin syllable O, and that's actually persisted from the original composition because it is one of seven antiphons, which now what is an antiphon, you may ask? It is a liturgical hymn in the Catholic Church that are sung in the 7 days going up to Christmas. So back in medieval times, this is what was sung during Advent season coming up to Christmas, ending with December 23rd being O Emmanuel, which the version that we now know is adapted from O Emmanuel, and it's O come, Emmanuel, based off of the same scripture. And the eighth antiphon sung on Christmas Eve is about Mary and her sacrifice to Jesus. So the second tune that we'll continue with is I Saw Three Ships Come Sailing In, a North English folk song from 1833, covered by a lot of Celtic groups, Celtic women, chieftains, and now us. So please enjoy. And then
they were just warming it up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I also write my own bagpipe music. I'm actually a full-time musician, and so is Paul. So I'm following it up with one of my original jigs called The Nuisance.
Oh, can I just look at the card? I want to see who sent it. Thank you.
How's everybody doing tonight? You guys having a good time? Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you once again for taking the time out of your day to come out. We know you could be doing anything with your time, and we really appreciate it that you choose to spend it with us. So we've got a couple more for you. This next one is called The Parting Glass. It actually originates in 1605 Scotland. It's got a really interesting story connected with Scotland and America and immigrants that came over. So, Paul?
You know, I've just figured it. That's your mic, this one here. They've been a really small for some reason. It's like she's not that small. Anyway, okay. All right, what were we talking about?
Parting glass.
Oh, parting glass, yeah. So back in the day, a long time ago, literally in the 1600s, this song was written. And it's interesting because originally written in Ireland, and it made its way across to Scotland because there's about 12 verses to this, but if you listen to it, it's a beautiful song. Usually sung a cappella, but it was sung at the end of a party because, you know, everybody was going off and they were like, you know, let's all be friends and remember each other. But then they turned it into almost like a wake song because in the Scottish history, they had the Highland clearances where after the Battle of Culloden, a lot of people were sent across to America with one-way tickets. And in Ireland, you had the potato famine where people were pretty much kicked out and sent across. And you had families literally getting split apart. And when you went to America, they never saw them again. It was like literally them dying. So this became a farewell tune for families whose sons were going off to America. They'd literally sing the parting glass because they know that this is the last time I'll ever see you. So it was a kind of a sad song, but it's a beautiful song. So on that happy note, over to you, Jimmy.
So once again, thank you so much for coming out today, and let's get it started.
Thank you.
What's that? Oh, hang on, Gemma, your favorite basket's just arrived. Do you want to say something about the favorite basket?
Yeah, we do, but we got one more.
We got one more.
I have a basket for you to fill for them, and we just thank you, Gemma and Paul, for being
thank
here.
You.
We thank you, God, for your gifts.
Yeah.
And Spencer and Ann and Eric, you must be so proud.
Good job.
So right. They have one more for us, and I'll be in the back.
All right, so this is our last song. For this one, I want everybody to stand up right now. Come on, everybody, stand up. The power of the facilitator. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, these guys were actually pretty good, weren't they? That was a big surprise.
Didn't have too high expectations, but it
I was just
out.
Here for the free heat. Yeah. All right, this song is called Auld Lang Syne, and at the end of Celtic Irish, yeah, Auld Lang Syne. The thing is, nobody knows the words to it, so everybody usually just knows the chorus. So we're going to sing it.
We're
so
just going to sing one verse over and over and
you've
over.
You've got to link arms. You've got to link arms, and usually this is done at the end of a Celtic party. So a lot of scotch is usually passed hands. So. This one.
For Auld Lang Syne, my dear. For Auld Lang Syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for Auld Lang Syne.
One more time.
For Auld Lang Syne. My dear, for Auld Lang Syne, we'll drink a cup of kindness yet for the sake of Auld Lang Syne.
Yay, good job, thank you.
Can we say bye to everybody?